Tired of trying diet after diet without results? Mochi Health offers a long-term weight loss solution personalized to your needs. Our board-certified obesity doctors and registered dietitians provide expert guidance to help you succeed. Eligible patients can access custom-formulated GLP-1 medication at an affordable set price delivered monthly. Take our free quiz at joinmochi.com and use code AUDIO40 for $40 off your first month. That's joinmochi.com.
You are now listening to the Calcio Corner Podcast with your host, Raffaele.
What's good? This is indeed the Calcio Corner Podcast, where we cover all corners of Italian football and more. My name is Raffaele. I thank you for taking the time to listen to this, the 40th episode of the Calcio Corner Podcast. Please be sure to subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, and Audioboom. Be sure to give me a follow on Twitter. My account is at Italiano Calcio. Be sure to check my Twitter bio for a link for all the links that you need to help support and listen to this podcast. So a little bit later on this episode, I will have Janusz Michalek from ESPN and Sirius XM to get his thoughts on Serie A and the Champions League action that is set to resume shortly. All right, guys, I'm happy to announce that Manscaped are a sponsor of the Calcio Corner Podcast. Manscaped are the best in men's below-the-waist grooming. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. They obsess over their technology developments to provide you with the best tools for your grooming experience. Manscaped is trusted by over 2 million men worldwide. 2 million men. So what are you waiting for? I have an exclusive offer for my listeners. You can get 20% off plus free shipping with the code CALCIOCORNER at manscaped.com. One word, no space. The code is CALCIOCORNER. That's C-A-L-C-I-O, corner. You can go to their site and order some of their great products right now as you're listening to this podcast. Manscaped has created the best below-the-waist hair trimmer ever, the Lawnmower 3.0. Their third-generation trimmer features a cutting-edge ceramic blade to reduce grooming accidents thanks to their advanced skin-safe technology. In addition, this trimmer comes with an LED light for a more precise shave, and what I think is the best feature on it is that it's waterproof to make your shower shave nice and clean, nice and easy. The Lawnmower 3.0 comes inside their brand new Perfect Package 3.0, which comes with everything, and I mean everything you need to keep trim, cut free, and smelling nice down there. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code CALCIOCORNER at manscaped.com. That's one word, CALCIOCORNER. The link and promo code information can be found in the description of this podcast, so be sure to check that out right now as you're listening. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code CALCIOCORNER at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com. And make sure you use the code CALCIOCORNER. Unlock your confidence and always, always use the right tools for the job with Manscaped. So we will start off this 40th episode of the podcast by talking about the recent action in Serie A, round 22. As always, we will use the good, the bad, and the ugly. Let's start with the good. Only place for me to start is with Napoli's massive win over Juventus, beating them 1-0. And I can't state how massive of a win it was for Napoli. So many goods from this one. This one had to feel good for Gattuso, who's potentially coaching for his job, if you believe the Italian media reports. And I think we can now put all that to bed, and rightfully so. I never felt that Gattuso should be fired. I always maintained the opinion that let him finish out the season. He certainly deserves that. Evaluate things at the end of the season, see where all the chips fall come the end of the season, and make a big evaluation if you're De Laurentiis in this Napoli club. But I always felt Gattuso should have the at least the honor and the justification to finish out the season, and beating Juventus certainly should secure that. This win shows that these players believe in Gattuso. They haven't given up on him. And even throughout their rough stretch of games, when this team hasn't looked the best and they haven't been getting the greatest results, I never felt that these players have given up on Gattuso. You could tell the players believe in him. You could tell their will and desire to fight for him and go to battle for him. And that certainly showed in this game against Juve. So this was a good weekend for Gattuso. Next, Lorenzo Insigne's penalty was the only goal and the difference in this one, in the 1-0 win. This goal had to feel good for Insigne as well. You just know it did. If you recall, he missed that penalty against Juve in the Italian Super Cup, and that could have tied the score in that game, and who knows what could have happened, how that result could have turned out. Insigne was left in tears after missing that penalty. So for him to step up and drill an absolute perfect penalty in this one, it had to feel good for the Neapolitan-born captain. It was also his 100th career goal with Napoli, so a special way to celebrate that 100th goal mark in the Napoli shirt. So kudos to Lorenzo Insigne. I think this penalty conversion may have exercised some demons for Insigne. Let's see if this gets him back on track, because he has not been the same ever since he missed that penalty in the Italian Super Cup. He has not scored in his previous 7 games in all competitions. A really long drought for Insigne in terms of not getting a goal. So to see Insigne back on the score sheet in a big way, in a big game, in a must-win game, you could argue, certainly a good from this weekend. And I was also coming into this game, I was genuinely nervous to see how the defensive pairing of Rachmani and Maksimovic would fare against, you know, a potent Juventus attack. How would they fare against, you know, Chiesa, against Cristiano Ronaldo, Alvaro Morata, Juan Cuadrado, so many, you know, options coming forward for Juve. And when you think about how Rachmani and Maksimovic played against Atalanta in the second leg of their Coppa Italia clash, I mean, those two were horrible in that game. And certainly coming into this game, Napoli fans had to be shaking in their boots thinking about how was Rachmani and Maksimovic going to handle this Juve attack. But you got to give Rachmani and Maksimovic all the credit. They came up massive in this game. They made some big interventions. They got their heads on some crosses to deny Ronaldo and other players from getting their opportunities. So great weekend for those two. Certainly one of the goods from this game. And in, you know, in the limited time that Rachmani has gotten so far at Napoli, and it's been very limited, this has by far been his best performance. So let's see if, you know, this game gives him and Maksimovic the credit and confidence, I should say, going forward. I'm sure it certainly gave Gattuso confidence in them to trust them more, because you know Manolas is going to miss some more games down the stretch. You know Koulibaly is going to miss some games down the stretch, even just from a rest standpoint. So good to see Rachmani and Maksimovic play well. My final good out of this game has to be Alex Moret, Napoli's goalie. He made some critical saves and great reaction saves, especially down the stretch there in some of the final minutes to keep Juve off the score sheet. Moret wasn't even supposed to start in this game. It was Ospina who was going to get the start, but he was a late scratch with an injury. Now, we'll never know how this game would have unfolded had Ospina gotten the start. What if he made those same big saves that Moret were able to make? Who knows? But what I do know is that Moret started. Moret made the saves. He came up in those critical moments for Napoli in this win. And he's as much of, you know, he's as deserving as much as anybody on this Napoli team for this win. So good for Moret. Maybe this win also, and this performance from Moret also instills some more confidence in Gattuso going with him, perhaps over Ospina, something that I've been pushing for a while. So all around, huge, massive, big 3 points for Napoli. It keeps them right there in the race for a top 4 spot. And who knows, you know, maybe this win will help build some confidence and be the beginning of a good run for this Napoli side. It's something that we know they're capable of going on. The talent is certainly there. So we'll see what it could do. For Juventus, they certainly created their chances. As I said, Moret came up big and made some big saves to deny Ronaldo a couple times, deny Alvaro Morata. So they had their chances, so they have to be a little bit disappointed. I know that Chiellini penalty on Insigne scored, but the penalty that Chiellini had on Rachmani, the hand to the face, where he kind of slap-punched, hit Rachmani in the face, poked him in the eye. To me, I'm not sure how that's even a debatable situation. I know, you know, these center backs and these players, it's physical on these set pieces and corners, but that was clearly a penalty to me, and I think it was the right decision. The ref went over to look at the replay because VAR told him to look at it. I think he looked at it all of 2 seconds and pointed right to the spot, because it was, for me, it was clear as day, so I have no problem with that penalty being awarded. I don't understand the controversy behind it. But when you consider Milan losing to Spezia, which I'll talk about a little bit later, Milan could have gone 10 points clear of the Bianconeri. So, you know, all in all, certainly this was a game that Juve wanted to win, and perhaps in some way they felt they needed to win to help their push for a Scudetto. But it doesn't totally cripple them the same way it would have had Milan beat Spezia, like most of us expected to. So, bad weekend for Juve, certainly, given the form they were in and Napoli were in. I think most people expected Juve to take the 3 points. But given Milan losing to Spezia and that shock result, it wasn't as crippling as a weekend as it could have been for Napoli, at least in my opinion. For Juve, at least as it could have been. Another good for me certainly has to be Inter beating Lazio 3-1 and going top of the Serie A table. Inter have been outstanding all season, more than deserving of this first place status in the league. It kind of seemed like it was only a matter of time until they would eventually leapfrog Milan, given, you know, how much more better, at least in my opinion, Inter have looked consistently throughout the season. They have a 1-point lead over Milan right now, so give Inter credit. They beat a very informed Lazio side. Lazio, coming into this game, have been one of the hottest teams. They've been looking really dangerous, And Lazio actually played really well in this game. And in that 3-1 scoreline certainly doesn't look the way that this game played out. So certainly give Inter credit. They faced a tough competition in Lazio and they were able to rise to the top. And that's what, you know, a Scudetto winning team is capable of doing. So this was certainly the type of win and performance and result that you need to pull out if you want to win the Scudetto. So give Inter credit. Romelu Lukaku, he was outstanding for me in this game. Certainly the standout for Inter. He scored two of the goals. He assisted the third goal, which was scored by Lautaro Martinez. On that assist, Lukaku just absolutely blew by Marco Parolo, who had come on in the second half to play as a center back. And again, he blew by Parolo. He laid off the ball nice and easy for Lautaro to finish. And I know people have been, you know, critical of Lautaro Martinez this season, but even he, given the form he's been in lately, wasn't even able to miss that one. A few minutes before that goal, Parolo did make a great challenge to prevent Hakimi from getting a shot off. But overall, it was a very questionable decision from Simone Inzaghi to bring on Parolo and play him as a center back at the start of the second half. And in the end, it might have cost Lazio, because at the time when the game was 2-1 and Lazio, again, they played well and they were gaining momentum and they were giving it to Inter, Lukaku was able to just blow by Parolo, who obviously is not a very fast player, and he was a bit out of position. So Lukaku was able to take advantage of Parolo playing in unfamiliar territory. So good win by Inter, big win by Inter against a tough Lazio opponent. Outstanding performance from Lukaku. Conte has done a great job with this Nerazzurri side last season, this season. They're not in any European competition. They're in first place. They're in the driver's seat. They control whether or not they're going to win the Scudetto this season now. I had picked them to win it before the season started, so let's see if they can prove me to be correct. But outstanding weekend for Inter when you consider Milan loss. Inter able to leapfrog them and take first place. Juventus, who were in third place, they also dropped points in their loss to Napoli. So all in all, outstanding weekend for the Nerazzurri. And when you look at the Serie A table right now, we have seven teams that are within 10 points of each other. Whether or not you think, regard how many of them are competing for the Scudetto, who knows, but we have seven teams that are within 10 points. What a battle it is for those top four spots in the Champions League. It's going to be an outstanding second half of the season. It's been an outstanding season all along, so certainly can't wait to see how the rest of the season plays out in Serie A. Another good from this weekend, Roma easily handled Udinese 3-0 in Rome at the Stadio Olimpico. Jordan Veretout, he scored twice for Roma, both on penalties. He's definitely one of the better penalty takers in this league. An underrated player, in my opinion. Definitely a midfielder that doesn't get enough attention. He's such an integral part on this Roma team. And again, he's the guy who steps up and just seems to always drill these penalties for Roma. So he had a good game in their 3-0 win. But nice win for Roma as they jump back into the top four and they continue their good run against these lower table teams. When you look at Roma this season, they have absolutely feasted on teams that they're supposed to beat. And that's why they are where they are in the standings. That's why they are a top four team, a team battling for a Champions League spot. And that's what you're supposed to do if you want to qualify for the Champions League. You don't want to drop points against these lower level teams like a Crotone, like a Parma. You got to get all 3 points. And Roma have pretty much done that this season. The only reason they're not higher in the standings, they're not maybe honestly like battling for the Scudetto or that number one team, is because their results against the top half of the table, against the Juve, against Inter, against Milan, they're not beating them. I mean, you know, this team could literally be right there in the Scudetto race. I mean, they are theoretically, but I don't think many people consider them Scudetto contenders because of that poor record against these other top teams. So, you know, if small word, big meaning, if the Giallorossi could start to beat these top teams in this second half of the season, maybe, just maybe, they could become more legitimate Scudetto contenders in the eyes of the majority of the fans. For Udinese, this loss, it snaps their 4-game unbeaten streak. They had won 2 in a row during that 4-game unbeaten streak. But it's been a nice little run for Udinese. We've seen better play from them. They've gained separation from the relegation zone. So let's see if they're able to bounce back next week. But all in all, good win for the Giallorossi this weekend. Final good for me this weekend, Domenico Berardi. He made his return to the starting lineup for Sassuolo in well over a month. And certainly he made his impact. He scored the opening goal in Sassuolo's 2-1 win over last place Crotone. Francesco Caputo, he assisted that goal. He added the second on a second half penalty, which ended up being the difference in, again, the 2-1 win over Crotone. So it was certainly good to see Berardi back on the field. We know what a special talent he is. And, you know, I talked about in the past how Sassuolo's kind of, you know, had some, been on a little bit of a skid and haven't been getting the results that they were getting earlier on in the season. And certainly, you know, missing arguably their best player in Berardi for well over a month, about 6 weeks it was. I think his last start was January 3rd for the Nero Verdi. So certainly getting Berardi back into the starting lineup, him scoring a goal, that was one of my final goods for this round. All right, moving on to the bad from this weekend. Certainly Milan's performance against Spezia has to land them here as one of the bads. Surprisingly, Milan mustered up zero shots on goal in their 2-0 loss. And I'm not too sure, but you know, it seems difficult to win a game if you don't get any shots on target, but I could be wrong about that. This surprising loss cost Milan first place, and if Milan want to win the Scudetto, you have to take 3 points against Spezia, right? I mean, even though we know this has been a feisty Spezia side that have fared pretty well against some of the top teams and more competitive sides in Serie A, they have to still get these 3 points if they want to win the Scudetto. And, you know, entering this game, Milan knew Juventus had lost early in the day to Napoli. So here you had a chance to build a 10-point lead over what has been a surging Juventus side. So it was certainly a bad result for Milan. Also, result aside, Milan in general did not play well in this game. They did not have any fluency in their play. Their build-up play really wasn't well. And as I mentioned, zero shots on goal, which is just remarkable to me. So give credit to Spezia. Now, Milan do face Inter this upcoming weekend on Sunday, so they have a shot to retake first place. So Pioli has to, you know, get his team to forget about this loss. He has to get them focused to face this tough Nerazzurri side, who will certainly be looking to, you know, put their stamp on the Scudetto race. And, you know, if they're able to win, they're able to now go 4 points clear of Milan. So certainly Milan have to get up for that challenge because they have to forget about this game. They have a shot right away to retake first place, which, you know, doesn't always happen where you have that direct, you're facing that direct competitor that you need to catch for first place. So let's see if Pioli can get his team to bounce back. And it seems like, you know, a lot of people have always been kind of doubting Milan, right? Thinking that they were punching above their weight and, you know, a team that, you know, probably wasn't fully deserving of being in first place. When you look at, not that they're not a talented side, but when you look at some of the other clubs in Serie A, when you look at the roster that Inter have, when you look at the roster that Juventus have, a lot of people felt that it was only a matter of time until Milan relinquished first place. And, you know, here they did with this poor result against Spezia. So again, they have this shot to bounce back right away and try to stick it to Inter. But it, you know, a lot of people now perhaps are starting to be proven right by, you know, was this Milan team punching above their weight a bit? And are we starting to see a little bit more of a regression from this Rossoneri side? So, you know, only time will tell how they bounce back and whatnot. Now for Spezia side, they took this game to Milan. They definitely outplayed Milan in this one. And certainly they've been one of the surprise, you know, stories this season. They've been one of the big stories to follow in Serie A. And you look at the Spezia side. They don't back down from anybody. Vincenzo Italiano has done an outstanding job with them. But that doesn't mean that this isn't a bad loss for Milan. And if you look at some of the results Spezia have earned this season, they beat Milan now. They beat Napoli earlier. They have beaten Sassuolo. They drew against Atalanta. They have a nice compilation of results against some of the bigger teams in this league. And Vincenzo Italiano is certainly becoming one of the hottest names among coaches. And, you know, who knows, next season he could find himself coaching at a bigger club in Italy. Napoli are obviously one of the clubs being mentioned and linked to him over the summer. So we'll see what happens with that. But Vincenzo Italiano is certainly catching the eye of a lot of people, having his Spezia side play really well. So good win for Spezia, but a bad loss for Milan. Really poor performance from them. Got to get those 3 points, and it ended up costing them first place in Serie A for the moment. The only other bad I wanted to mention this weekend was the controversial penalty, non-penalty calls and whatnot. So I talked about how I felt that the Chiellini call on Rachmani was correctly called a penalty. And I know there was a lot of, you know, outrage in the Italian media and social media and whatnot of fans arguing whether or not it was a penalty or not. The Cagliari non-penalty call, which I'll talk about in a little bit, that was certainly controversial. Lukaku's second goal for Inter, was he offsides or not? It clearly, when you see the replay, he was clearly onside. And even the first goal was the penalty that was awarded to Inter, and Lautaro Martinez was taken down. And it was questionable whether or not there was contact, or did he make contact with the ball, the Lazio defender. And there was a few other occasions throughout this weekend. And just all in all, we have VAR in place. More times than not, they're going to get the right call. They're not, you know, going to make poor decisions. I don't totally understand the outrage from fan bases and in the media and whatnot of, you know, certain calls when they go against your team or in favor of your team. There's always going to be, you know, Inter fans that complain when a Milan team get a call their way or a Juve team get a call their way. and vice versa. There's going to be Juve fans and Inter Milan fans that are, you know, have a controversial opinion if Inter award a penalty, whatever the case may be. That's always going to be the case. But to me, it's a little ridiculous. It's not worth getting all frazzled or upset about and worked up over. VAR is in place. More times than not, it's going to make the right decision. It's going to be the right call. And at the end of the day, you got to remember that these referees are humans. They can't see everything perfectly. They're going to make some mistakes. That's why we have VAR in place to be this assistance and try to get most of the calls right. So again, more times than not, the decisions will be the correct one. So I just don't understand, you know, the controversial opinions and takes and the backlash and the back and forth. To me, it never made sense to me as a fan. I wouldn't really get worked up over that. To me, that's just, you know, silly. So that was just one of my bads from this weekend. All the controversy around some of these penalties awarded or not awarded and whatnot. So that was just my final bad from this weekend. All right, my ugly for this weekend has to be the outcome of that Cagliari-Atalanta game. Now Atalanta won 1-0. It was anything but a convincing win from Atalanta. You would have fully expected them to handle a side that is as poor and struggling as Cagliari, but they did not. They were pretty fortunate to come away with this win. It was a late goal by Luis Muriel. Cagliari thought they had won a penalty in the final seconds of the game when Daniele Rugani was taken down by Martin De Roon, but referee Marco Piccinini ultimately decided that it wasn't a penalty. He even went to VAR to look at it. He looked at it for all of 2 seconds and instantly was able to determine it wasn't a penalty. A little bit questionable of a decision. It does look like perhaps Rugani caught a little bit of De Roon, but it does look like De Roon made contact with Rugani, but perhaps he made contact with the ball first. Really just a bad situation. I think it was a penalty. I guess I could see the debate, but for the ref to just make that decision so quickly off of that one replay, I felt like it was something that should have been looked at a little bit more, especially since VAR told him to take a look at it. And for him to look at it so quick for such a, you know, a big moment, such a critical moment that could have awarded Cagliari the penalty, whether or not they would have converted it, it's another thing. But to deny Cagliari that opportunity of perhaps a penalty and not taking a little bit more time to look at such a big play, for me, that's my ugly moment from this weekend. I'm not going to beat a dead horse in Cagliari. I talk about them enough in terms of negative things with this club. Their winless streak is now 15 games in all competitions. I mean, that's just really bad. They gave Di Francesco that contract extension a few weeks ago, which was puzzling to all of us. I mean, yes, just because they gave him that extension doesn't mean they're committing to him long term. It implies they would, but if the results just keep coming this way, these negative results, it's hard to imagine that they do stick with him. Not a great performance, as I mentioned, from Atalanta. So all around, it was a bit of a snooze fest game. And that ending with the ref just making such a snap decision, looking at that replay for all of 2 seconds for such a critical moment for me, that is my ugly from this week in Serie A. So I will be having on Janusz Michalek. He does a great job, an outstanding job covering the game of football, soccer, culture, whatever you want to call it, for ESPN and for Sirius XM here in the United States. He could also be heard on some Serie A commentary on ESPN. We will get him on to talk about the Serie A season, get his thoughts on Napoli, the Scudetto race, his thoughts on the Champions League action that's set to resume, so you definitely want to stay tuned for this interview. And just for some context regarding this interview was recorded on Friday prior to any of this weekend's Serie A action, so just keep that in mind. So let me welcome in my guest on the Calcio Corner podcast, Mr. Janusz Michalek. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well, Raffaella. How are you?
Pretty good. Can't complain. All right, so I wanted to get you on to talk about Serie A. You do a great job covering it for ESPN and also to talk about the upcoming Champions League action that's going to be starting up. So let's dive right into it. Napoli struggles. They've been subject to a lot of debate lately, and Gattuso has come under a lot of fire, certainly being the coach of the team. What do you think is to blame, or who do you think is to blame for Napoli's struggles, and how could they turn this around to get back into this Champions League contention fight?
Well, you know, there's so many points you can make here. I mean, in general, I suppose. I mean, you know, maybe we leave. I don't want to leave it out. I mean, Gattuso certainly, to some degree. I mean, I never thought of him, you know, when he was in Milan and other places, that he was this, you know, special football brain per se, mm-hmm. right? I think motivation. I mean, to a degree, he's a little bit like Antonio Conte in a way. Not that, you know, Antonio Conte is obviously a good tactician, but, you know, they sometimes manage based on fear, right?
Mm-hmm. And yeah, poor man's Conte.
But you know, when you look at Napoli, I mean, look, it's I don't want to say it's quite simple, but it is when you're missing key players, right? And I think one of the main ones is Dries Mertens, obviously. I mean, he's right. Such a good player and such a flexible player. And I'm going to be using flexible a lot, I got a feeling, today. And you know, in terms of where he plays, what he does for a team, he can score. He's a bit of a playmaker, no matter where you play him, right? So I mean, that's important. You know, when you look at just recently, even the last game. Khalidou Koulibaly's not there. That's trouble, right? I mean, just look at him. What he's done. I mean, he's basically one man wrecking crew in a way, and has to defend because Napoli are having problems with that. Fabio Ruiz is another one, a very very important player of this team. So you know Osimhen. I kind of want to mention him because I thought he had a good start to his life at Napoli, right? We don't truly know if he was healthy 100%, you know, how his form would have been, right? But, you know, he's been missing for a long time. And now, you know, you look at Piotr Zieliński, the Polish international, who's been struggling tremendously as of late as well. So, you know, when you look at just some of the key players around, I suppose, you know, the game is simple. I mean, we could sit here and tactically dissect every aspect of the game, but I just do think that they're, you know, they've hit a patch where key players aren't playing. And, you know, sometimes that means for one or two games. And just like Koulibaly and Manolas, I forgot him as well, right? Missing. And that's sometimes enough. And so in a nutshell, I think, you know, those are some of the problems. And I think the situation with Gattuso also is probably not easy, right? Because, you know, I can just guess and imagine his... Maybe, you know, the way he's interacting with the board right now, he's one of those figures that, right? I mean, he's just, that's his nature, you know? So he's probably not an easy person to deal in the best of times. Now, imagine when the rumors start flying, right? Because the results aren't there. That can be a super healthy atmosphere.
No, for sure. And I've talked about it a lot on my podcast. Like, Napoli have been, you know, killed with injuries and players missing time with COVID, but you know, we've seen Milan miss a few players. Cristiano Ronaldo's missed time. Dybala's been out for Juve, and they've been able to overcome it. So, I mean, maybe you could look at Napoli have been hit with it a bit more. But, you know, if they really want to compete with those other top teams, they got to, I would guess, you know, be able to try to overcome these to the best of their ability. But it's not always that simple, obviously.
Yeah, you know, it's hard to sometimes say, well, these guys did it. I mean, look, I have a soft spot for Milan, obviously, right? And even I, you know, people, my friends were hammering me because I still think that they're kind of punching above their weight a little bit, right? And I mean, who would have said that even with all those injuries, Milan would be there? But that's not necessarily comparable because the expectations to a degree were low, or lower, I should say, right? And now you find yourself in this situation where you lead the league. Not everybody necessarily knows exactly why that's happening, other than, you know, Zlatan here and there. And that momentum grows, though, not because you're a special team by any means. It's just because things are going your way and you ride the wave, you know. And I think that's what Milan were doing. Where with Napoli, I don't think there was ever an expectation of Napoli being, you know, top of the table at any given point, even if they were all healthy. So that's why I have a difficult time with people that try to compare and say, well, you know, I mean, I think formationally, when you're missing some key players, you know, you can say that, but as a, in general, I don't think that's fair.
No, it's a good point. And you mentioned Milan and, you know, them perhaps punching above their weight. We have a great hotly contested Scudetto battle, one of the better ones we've seen in some time in Italy. There's plenty of teams with Milan, Inter, Juve. I mean, even Lazio are lurking. And, you know, I know people have their mixed feelings about Roma, but they're not too far off mathematically. Who do you favor to win the Scudetto and why this season?
You know, I mean, I do hope that Milan somehow sees that through, and it's a little bit of a destiny type of thing, right? Where with low expectation or non-expectations in terms of winning the Scudetto, because I can't imagine that anyone, even within that organization, thought that that's what, you know, what may be a possibility. But I just have a feeling that, you know, there was a moment in time where, and it was actually Milan, if I remember correctly, could have put Juve away. And when you don't put champions away, they have a way of getting back into it. And remember, I think when Milan lost to Juventus at home at the San Siro, they had a chance to go 10 or 13 points above them, right? And
yeah, regardless, something like that.
And regardless, if you think, I think it might have been 10, but I don't know. 10 is enough anyway. But at that moment, I think it's not that you would say for sure that Milan are going to win it, because Inter, of course, will have a shout and all that. But I think to a degree, you would have put Juve maybe away, right? The mentality of the team is different when you look at 10 points and puts a team as talented as Juve under tremendous amount of pressure. And Milan didn't do it. And then now, as we see Juventus once again on this incredible run, right, with players getting healthier and healthier, you know, somebody like De Ligt, who's been already tremendous in the last few games that was missing. And you know, you say to yourself, my goodness, I mean, have we invited Juventus back? Because there was a big opportunity there. I mean, it wasn't the normal start for Juventus. In the years past, by now, Juve would have been crowned the champions, right? Just a question of how many points.
Right.
And now Juventus, you know, I think beating Inter in was it Supercoppa, right? Inter, so many.
Coppa Italia.
Oh, Coppa Italia, I'm sorry. And winning Supercoppa anyway, right? Mm-hmm. I think that just gives them that incredible momentum. So, you know, I still think that that Juventus somehow, I see him still as favorites.
Yeah, that's I had Mark Donaldson on a few weeks ago, and he you know, he echoed the same sentiment that, you know, Juve haven't been completely put to bed yet, and, you know, they're the champions running for, you know, 9+ years now, and you know, they have that fight, they know how to figure it out, and it looks like perhaps they're starting to figure it out, and doing so without Dybala. I mean, even when Dybala was healthy, right, he wasn't even looking like Dybala that we're accustomed to, so they could be really scary.
Well, the thing is, again, a lot of times we just looked at X's and O's, but I can tell you from experience that, you know, you judge teams in a moment, little moments. You know, momentum is massive, right? And when we say this, it's not over-exaggeration. And I can give millions of, you know, examples of, say, like, you know, Manchester City now versus Liverpool and, you know, all over the world, right? But momentum is massive in a sense when you look at Juventus, that at that moment, as I've mentioned, you know, going back to that Milan game against Juventus and a couple other games where Juventus, I felt, were led back into this, is that at the time, and even now, Pirlo turning on the job. But back then, there was a lot of pressure on him, right, that perhaps he wasn't ready. And I think another look or two at that particular time would have probably kept it up in terms of momentum and extra pressure, not only from within the club, but from the outside of it, right? And that may have contributed to Juventus being out of it as well. And all of a sudden now, Pirlo, I don't necessarily think Pirlo is much better now than he was, you know, a couple months ago when they were struggling. You know, I think he's gone back to the basics, but that's what you do when things don't go your way. Right. I mean, he wanted to play a little bit more. He wanted to press and this, that, or the other. But I think, you know, in that situation, you find yourself in an unusual situation. You just basically go back to basics. And that's exactly what Juventus have done. And because of it, you know, there was another opportunity lost, because it's not just Juventus not getting results, but then would have been even more of a talk. Is he ready? Have they made the right decision? Everything that we were hearing about. And now all of a sudden we're not. And again, just my guess, I don't necessarily think that Andrea Pirlo has become a better manager in that time. It's just that momentum and winning changes a lot of things. And we have to remember that.
To what we said about Napoli earlier, like they have momentum going totally against them. And it's just kind of could lead you down like a negative downward spiral, which is the opposite of what's happening with Juve. A player who's really impressed me at Juve, and I think impressed a lot of us, has been USA international Weston McKennie. How impressed have you been with him? And you know, what does this mean perhaps for the USA international team? Could he be this type of player and transcendent of a player for the USA team?
Well, absolutely. I think what impresses me with him, and you know, not just when he was in Major League Soccer, and not just the United States national team, and Schalke. You know, he assimilates extremely well, right? I mean, you know, it'd be easy to say happy-go-lucky attitude, but I think that because he has such a big range of play, because he's so combative, you know, the way he plays, when you go and play for big clubs like that, before you figure it out, or before you give anybody a chance to look at you technically or some of your weaknesses, because you know how it is, right? Mm-hmm. When a young player comes in particular an American player, goes to Europe to big clubs like that, it's easy to pick on them in some way, right? But I think what he does outside of that, it's so important, so key, that you don't even have a chance to look at some of the weaknesses, which he does have, and many players do, right? And I mean, after all, he's very, very young. So just think that his, you know, being able to play in so many different positions well, to adapt to, you know, to play from the front and on the front foot, and the way he recovers, which is very, very important. I mean, we've seen that at Schalke as well. I mean, he really mops up a lot of the pitch, and so I think it's easy to appreciate that from the fans, from the teammates, and from everybody else, where sometimes if he makes a tactical mistake, he's able to recover and make it right. And that's not always easy, you know. So I just think it's tremendous. And look, I mean, came into Juventus and right away kind of got the benefit of the doubt, right? Then for a little bit there, almost seemed like he had to really regain his spot. And now he picks himself in it, because it's hard to overlook a player like that who, no matter where you plug him, still does the job.
You know, he seems to be someone that Pirlo is going to run out game in, game out, and he's going to be one of his fixed starters. And, you know, we'll see how Brian Reynolds, another American who's now moved over to Italy, how he does for Roma. We'll see if he could kind of have that same impact eventually as Weston McKennie's had. Moving on to the Champions League, the knockout round gets started this week. Real Madrid, they've had their ups and downs, but we all know that, you know, when it comes to the Champions League competition, this is where they thrive and this is what they love to win. And, you know, they're playing a dangerous Atalanta side that certainly filled the hearts of many people last season with their run deep into the Champions League. Do you think there's any chance that they could work this magic again and perhaps knock out the Spaniard?
Well, I mean, absolutely. I mean, this is a Real Madrid team that's been in trouble for a while now, right? I mean... Mm-hmm. You know, Zinedine Zidane is being questioned. Obviously, the loss of Cristiano Ronaldo now for a couple of seasons, that means that they haven't been able to find anyone to fill that hole, right? Karim Benzema is a goal scorer, but I mean, Karim Benzema is not a player that's going to consistently give you 20, 30, 40 goals a season, right? So, I mean, that was always going to be difficult, but you'd like to think that if there's one club that can... It is Real Madrid, right? They haven't mm-hmm. gone to the market yet. You know, difficult times or not. They, you know, they've had a little bit of time to do that, and they haven't. You know, there's been always talk about, you know, Kylian Mbappe and you know, maybe Haaland and whoever else, but they haven't done it, which puts them in a very, very difficult position, right? Not to mention the fact that now, you know, there's a big problem with their captain, Sergio Ramos. Because of injury, right? I mean, he's such a leader and such an important part of the defense, which is a foundation for any big, big team, you know, and not to mention his leadership, right? So, you know, you've got a problem with his underwent surgery, didn't he, I think? And also, of course, he has got a contract problem, which weighs negatively regardless, because there's question marks, right? If you have a question mark on Sergio Ramos at Real Madrid, then perhaps you have a bigger problem. So you know, that's an issue for them. And so I look at Atalanta, and I think when I look at Atalanta, I mean, look where they are in Serie A, and they're always going to be there or thereabout, you know, 3, 4, 5, something like that. But I think of them as a great cup team. You know, they're the sort of team that have everything for an upset, right? And I think they thrive on that as well. They've always, even if they were in Europe, right, when the times are good and, you know, they've had 10, 11, 12,000 supporters, right, playing for the cause and of course, with COVID-19 and what has happened, you know, in Bergamo and all of that, they're just an incredible team that gets up for these occasions. So I bet you that Real Madrid probably didn't want them. Nobody did, because I still think that in a situation like this, they'll look at these two games and they'll say to themselves, my goodness, this could be an incredible impact again for such a modest, if not small, to once again be on the lips of the entire Europe, if not the world. So, you know, when you look at those two teams, and I don't know, I don't want to say that Atalanta is heading in the right direction, because, I mean, you know, even a game like Torino, right? Torino, Optimus, mm-hmm. same issues, of course. Defensively, they've never been super sound. But I would give him a chance because watching Real Madrid, and I do, and I commented, I have to talk about him. I mean, nothing tells me that this Real Madrid team is anywhere near recovery. I don't even want to say, you know, a team that's won this competition so many times and won in a row and all that. They are nowhere near that.
No, for sure. It's definitely not the Real Madrid team we've been more accustomed to lately. And I think perhaps anyone other than a Real Madrid fan would love to see that Atalanta magic, you know, run in the Champions League happen again this year. I'm certainly rooting for them from a neutral standpoint. Clubs that will be competing in the Champions League, we have Juve. They face Porto. Lazio, they were the unfortunate team to draw Bayern Munich. I just wanted to get your quick thoughts on these two matchups. Who do you like to advance to? Is it possible that maybe all three of these Serie A clubs could advance?
Look, I want to respect Porto as much as anybody else, right? I mean, what they've done in the past is incredible. I mean, I don't know if there are many teams like Porto, and actually Benfica comes to mind, that sell players better than they do, right? I mean, mm-hmm. But I think, you know, we sort of, like with Porto, you always think that they can pull an upset because how big the name is and what they've done in the past. But when you look at the recent history, you know, Porto are good enough to come out of the group, and then after that, probably not. And when you look at a team like Juventus, that's still, you know, to them, this is the holy grail, right? And be important for them. But I still think that they see themselves and say, my goodness, this has not been a bad draw. It could have been a lot worse. And when I look at the two teams, you have to say that Juve are favorites, and they're hitting the competition at the right time because they're on a tremendous run right now. Mm-hmm. Everything's quiet. You've mentioned Dybala is not there, so that's not positive. But I think, you know, with Ronaldo and Morata and you know, Chiesa certainly has been a good addition to the team. As I've mentioned, De Ligt, tremendous recovery from him. You know, but she's there and Chiellini are there. And, you know, I mean, they have the experience in those big matches. They don't have to play every game now. So I think Juventus will get through that. For Lazio, I suppose it's going to be difficult, but not impossible. you know, when I say this, not impossible, I don't necessarily believe it. But again, Bayern Munich, you want to say struggle, they just won Club World Cup, right? They won six trophies, you know. The only other team is Barcelona, of course. But mm-hmm. they do have their issues. They're not at their best. This is not a team that was winning the Champions League last year. We saw Thomas Müller had COVID. You don't know how to affect him or not, right? I mean, that's a mm-hmm. certain player. We know Jerome Boateng had very serious personal issues, had to leave and go home before the Club World Cup final as well. And certainly they've had their issues. Lazio had a pretty good game against Borussia Dortmund, if memory serves me right. Mm-hmm. You know, so they're somewhat familiar. And, you know, when Lazio is at their best and everyone's available, they're a difficult team. There's a lot of quality on that team. But, of course, they won't be favorites here, and it's going to be a massive task. But it's not one where I would just rule out it, you know, at hand.
Okay, and going back to the momentum talk, Lazio certainly, I think, what, six in a row as at the time of this recording, they've won in Serie A, so they certainly do have momentum on their, in that sense. All right, let me put you on the spot, and I'll get you out of here with this. Who are you picking right now as the round of 16 of the Champions League is about to begin? Who are you picking to win this contest?
My goodness, who's left? I have so many games. You know, I really kind of warming up, and I never have towards Paris Saint-Germain a little bit, mm-hmm. you know, with Pochettino and the changes, but we know Neymar's out now, so that's not positive for them. You know, Bayern Munich are not at their best, but I never rule them out. I still think that the defending champions are probably the favorites here, although, you know, maybe possibly this is the season for Pep Guardiola and Manchester City. So, I mean, I'm going to go, you know, I'm going to go between City and Bayern still, because I just have a difficult time. You know, I won, you know, once, not against necessarily Bayern Munich, but sort of very early last season when they won it. Remember, well, last season, that's, you know, when the Champions League started, which was kind of 2 years ago, it seems, before, you know, Hansi Flick came in, because they really struggled, not just in the Bundesliga, but everywhere. So, and somehow, you know, they came good. So, My goodness. I mean, it's a tough one. But, you know, maybe Man City, maybe it's their year. Who knows? I mean, they're, you know, there's a team in absolute form with some great players, great difference makers, finally great defensively, which was always an issue, to a point where, you know, Aymeric Laporte can get into starting 11, right? Mm-hmm. And still Aguero, you know, maybe it's City's year, but, you know, I'm going to sit on the fence between City and Bayern Munich.
Okay. I'm sure City fans would be happy, and so would the owners, given how much money they've spent, you know, over the past few years. I'm sure they would love to finally get over that hump.
Hey, you know, the beauty of it is that maybe it's finally time for Atleti or Juve. You know, you just have to wait in, you know, because a lot can change here. That's why it's so difficult, right? I mean, you know, we normally just talk about injury, but as I said, I mean, it could be, knock on wood, could be a COVID, you know, one or two, could be anything. And all of a sudden, you really have to change your mind. But on form right now, it'd be hard-pressed to tell me that there's a better team at this moment than Manchester City.
For sure. I can't thank you enough, Janusz, for taking the time to join me on the podcast. Stay safe, and I hope to talk to you again soon.
Well, thank you very much for having me on. I really enjoy it, and I enjoy your content on all this platforms that you and I follow each other.
All right. Thank you very much.
All right. Now on to Buy It or Sell It to cover some of the storylines and rumors that have been dominating the Italian media and the world of football. Let's dive right into it. Number one, buy it or sell it, Gianluigi Donnarumma is worth 10 million euro per season. I will buy this one. So we know Milan, they want to lock up Donnarumma to a new contract and ensure that his future is still with the Rossoneri. The Italian media, they have been reporting that Milan want to give Donnarumma a new five-year contract that would be worth about 7.5 million euro per season. Pretty good pay raise if you ask me. But Mino Raiola, Donnarumma's agent, he wants to get his client 10 million euro per season and perhaps only look to sign a 1 to 2 year extension. Part of the reason why is, you know, in another year or two, when we get past this COVID situation and the financial impact that it has had on these football clubs, Raiola's hope is that, you know, perhaps then in a year or two when things are better, that he could then sign Donnarumma to an even bigger contract because clubs will have more money to spend. That's part of what's being reported. And again, I do think Donnarumma is worth 10 million euro per season. This season, he has certainly established himself. He was already a very highly regarded, a very talented goalie. But this season, I think he's kind of really established himself as one of the best goalies in the world. And if you recall a few weeks ago, Roberto Mancini said that he feels or felt at that time that Donnarumma was the best goalie in the world. And I'd mentioned that on my podcast before. And, you know, I said how Mancini's not one of these guys to just throw out these, you know, these type of statements and not really believe them. So certainly, you know, it's hard to argue the season that Donnarumma's been having. He certainly has established himself as one of the best goalies in the world. Now, I don't think, you know, Milan wants to pay him that 10 million euro per season. You know, the ownership group there, they're trying to run this club financially sound, and they've done a good job, and they brought in the right players now. It's kind of, they've been heading in that right direction, certainly with bringing in talented players that are making an impact on the field, and we're seeing it this season. You know, and yeah, 10 million euro is a lot to pay your goalie, but that doesn't mean he's not worth that much. That doesn't mean you have to pay him that much, but that doesn't mean he's not worth that much. And I do believe that he is worth that 10 million euro per season. Now, I mentioned this a while ago on the podcast, agents, football agents, soccer agents, whatever you want to call them, like Mino Raiola, they work for their clients, right? They're supposed to represent their client. They're supposed to do what the client wants them to do. They're hired by the client to do what they want. And we see sometimes that these power agents, they kind of like to dictate things. They like to kind of push their power around and think that they're in charge. And at least to us from the outside world, that doesn't seem to be in line with what their clients want sometimes, right? So it appears that Donnarumma wants to stay at Milan. He wants to stay there long term. He wants to commit himself to the Rossoneri. So why would Raiola be pushing for a 1 to 2 year contract extension as being reported? The club is willing to offer him a 5 year contract, and yet Raiola is only pushing for a 1 to 2 year extension. I know in some ways he has his client's interest in heart and trying to secure him the most money as possible. But if at the end of the day, Donnarumma looks at a 5 year contract, 7.5 million euro per season and is okay with that, then you would hope that Raiola would get that done and not let his own, you know, bias opinion or his power struggle to always want to try to get these big contracts for his players and keep himself established as his top, you know, agent in the world of football. You would hope that he wouldn't let that get involved. And you know, these players also have to remember that the agent works for them and they should be doing what they want. So, you know, players can't always just bow down to these agents. I know they do great work for them. They get them all this money. I'm not saying that these agents don't deserve credit. And we all know how great of an agent Raiola is. But if Donnarumma wants to commit himself to Milan long-term, that's what should be Raiola's number one priority. So certainly Milan would rather be paying Donnarumma $7.5 million per season as they're reportedly offering him. But that doesn't mean that I don't think that Donnarumma is not worth that 10 million euro that Raiola is pushing for, because I certainly do believe he is worth that much. All right, number two, buy or sell it. Any truth to the rumors linking Barella to Juventus? I will sell this one. I fully sell this one. No chance Barella is going to be sold or force his way out of Inter to join Juve, which has been part of what's been reported in the Italian media. I'm not buying this rumor one bit. Nicola Barella, arguably the best player in Serie A right now. He was one of the best players last season in the league. So no chance Inter are going to let a talent like this go, especially to their bitter rival like Juventus. Inter want to make Barella the captain of the club in the future, and taking that honor from Handanovic eventually. It's been reported in Gazzetta dello Sport recently. Barella certainly makes sense to be that future captain for Inter. No one knows just how much longer Antonio Conte will be the coach of Inter. We know he has one more year left on his contract, I should say. And I think he's done an outstanding job with Inter. I know, people have their mixed opinions and mixed feelings on Conte, maybe perhaps more as a person rather than his coaching ability, because we all know he's a really good coach and a special coach and, gets the most out of his team. But, Barella is the exact type of player that Conte wants. So obviously he's not going to let Barella go. He loves what Barella brings to the field in terms of, forget his talent. We all know what a special talent Barella is, but that effort, that passion, that fight, that drive that Barella brings from the first minute to the last minute, he plays the full 90 minutes, he goes hard all the time, along with players like Hakimi and Romelu Lukaku, Barella, Hakimi, Lukaku, those are three players that just embody what Conte wants from his players. So, those three players are certainly mainstays, fixtures for this Inter club, currently, but also in the future. No chance that, Inter let Barella leave, especially to go join a bitter rival like Juve. So, this will never happen. I could pretty much promise you that. All right, number three, buy or sell it. Atalanta winning Coppa Italia would be a bigger accomplishment than knocking out Real Madrid in the Champions League. This is a really tough one, but I will buy this one. I do think winning Coppa Italia would be obviously really significant for Atalanta. They actually, would have a chance to win a trophy, obviously, if they beat Juventus in the final. They haven't won a title since the early 60s when they did win Coppa Italia. I think it was 62 or 63 I saw. And, I'm not counting any of the times that they won Serie A B. So in terms of their last trophy between Coppa Italia, Italian Super Cup, Serie A, it was the early 60s, and it was actually the only title that Atalanta have won as a top-flight level club. So I do think winning Coppa Italia over Juve in that final will be, bigger than perhaps knocking out Real Madrid in the round of 16 of the Champions League. Now, knocking out Real Madrid would obviously get more attention globally. It would certainly, increase that global love, if you will, for Atalanta. A lot of people fell in love with this team last year in the Champions League, and if they could, upset, one of the most successful clubs in Europe in Real Madrid, certainly it would be a remarkable feat, even though Real Madrid have not been, as special of a side as we're used to. But I don't think, it would be bigger than winning Coppa Italia. Would it be special to see that this happen if they could knock out Real Madrid? Certainly it would be. But I do think beating Juventus and winning Coppa Italia would be the bigger accomplishment, just because that does ensure them that trophy. If they beat Juve, they win Coppa Italia, they get that trophy, only their second trophy in their club's history as a top-flight team. Knocking out Real Madrid would only move them on to the next round in the Champions League, which, again, that's what they want to do. That's their goal. That's what Gasperini and his players are fighting for. But obviously, beating Real Madrid doesn't guarantee them a trophy. So as tough as that would be to pick between those two, because I definitely, like I said, beating Real Madrid would certainly reverberate more throughout the world than if they beat Juve for Coppa Italia. But I do think winning Coppa Italia is the bigger accomplishment, just because it ensures them that title, something that they have barely won as a club. All right, final one, number four, buy or sell it. Victor Osimhen is a bust for Napoli. I will sell this one. For people to be labeling Osimhen as a bust this soon is just ridiculous, in my opinion. First off, before he went down with that injury, he was looking really well and playing outstanding, and we all kind of fell in love with him, right? We all, thought, oh man, what a talent Osimhen is. He's going to live up to that height. He's going to be a great addition to this Napoli attack, playing along with Insigne and Mertens and Lozano. And we all liked what we saw. He was such a great threat for Napoli. He was creating great chances and setting up his teammates. Then he gets hurt, and then you know, as he's about to come back from injury, he contracts COVID. He took him forever to test negative, so he missed a long period of time between that injury and between COVID, and all that time certainly away. It's going to impact him a bit, right? He's got to get back into form. And, you know, yes, he's looked poor since his return because, again, it's going to take time, but, you know, you got to give this kid some time. He's still adjusting to a new league. This is his first season in Serie A. He's adjusting to a new culture, living in Italy, living in Naples. He's adjusting to a new club in Napoli, new teammates that he's surrounded by, a new coach in Gattuso. If you remember, Lozano last year in his debut season with Napoli and in Serie A, he was pretty bad. And people were ready to give up on Lozano, and Napoli spent a lot of money to sign him, and people were calling him a bust. And then, you know, there were rumors of, you know, Napoli potentially should sell him this offseason, and they obviously didn't. And fortunately, they did not do that, because look at the season Lozano is having for Napoli. He's arguably their best offensive weapon this season. He's their most consistent threat this season. He's their most reliable option in attack because, you know, Insigne has missed some time. Osimhen, as I mentioned, has missed a lot of time. Mertens has missed a lot of time. Andrea Petagna has done all right. I like what Petagna has brought to this team at times, but again, does not have that skill set that Lozano has. So it's a good thing that Napoli did not pull the plug on Lozano, but I think Napoli fans and any fans around the world or in Italy or following Serie A that are labeling Victor Osimhen as a bust should look no further than Lozano. You know, here's a player on his team. Again, if Napoli gave up on Lozano in year one, you know, where would they be right now? Give Osimhen some time. He can still certainly turn things around this season. There's plenty of time, a little less than half a season left, to still turn this season around. And let's see if, you know, he can make that big incremental growth in year two at Napoli next season. So no chance at all that I'm willing to label Osimhen a bust at this point. I think part of that narrative comes from that high price tag, right? He's the most expensive purchase Napoli has ever made. And when you have that higher price tag, the amount of time that fans are willing to give a player to produce and perform on the field, I think shortens. You know, cheaper players with less expectations, fans will give them more leeway. High-priced player like Osimhen, like Lozano last season, you know, they're going to be given a shorter leash, and I think that's what's part of what's causing this label to be thrown out there. But again, no way that you could label Osimhen a bust this soon at all. All right, that will do it for the 40th episode of the Calcio Corner podcast. I hope you have enjoyed it. A special thank you to Janusz for taking the time to come on this episode and provide his insight. Once again, please subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, and Audioboom. There's a link in my Twitter bio, at Italiano Calcio, that gives you all the links you need to support and listen to the Calcio Corner podcast. Feel free to leave a rating and comment. That would be greatly appreciated to help us grow our content. And until next time, guys, ciao.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Calcio Corner podcast with your host, Raffaele. If you've enjoyed this episode, please rate, review, and subscribe on your preferred podcast listening platform. We really appreciate that effort. Until next time.
Tired of trying diet after diet without results? Mochi Health offers a long-term weight loss solution personalized to your needs. Our board-certified obesity doctors and registered dietitians provide expert guidance to help you succeed. Eligible patients can access custom-formulated GLP-1 medication at an affordable set price delivered monthly. Take our free quiz at joinmochi.com and use code AUDIO40 for $40 off your first month. That's joinmochi.com.